Hi, this is the Real Talk Podcast with Gary Kelly, and I'm joined today by Brad Avergon of Fairway Independent Mortgage, still independent after all these years. Brad asked if we could do a session on the current lawsuit that's out there, the Sitzer-Burnett. It's been in all the press and stuff, and I have been pushing back on doing a deep dive on it because I'm not an attorney, and it's not resolved yet. From my perspective, what it means is I can no longer advertise a buyer agent commission, and I need to have a document signed before I can go out and show a property, so saying that that buyer is associated with me. I think that there's a ton more details to be worked out, absolute ton more. But Brad, you wanted to talk about it, and so did your wife.
Well. Here's what's going on. So everybody that knows, and I'm sure you're experiencing this with every conversation, whether you walk into the diner and they're
I go into the diner and people are saying to me, all these years you've been screwing us on commission? Yeah, no.
You know, it's all over the press. And I think there's a lot of misconceptions about it. And I think the biggest misconception is that, first of all, that prices are going to drop because once, and let's assume that this, everything goes through and as it is and the settlement goes through, and that as of the middle of July, realtors will no longer be able to offer officially a co-broke fee. A co-broke fee, meaning sharing the commission that they make on a property via a contract. Am I saying that correctly? Because I want to make sure I say
That's exactly right. For years, one of the bedrocks of the MLS and the National Association of Realtors is that, you know, you put things on the MLS to get as much exposure as possible, and then you share in some way the commission. So you advertise that. So, I mean, it's split, but it's shared in some way.
So the first misconception is that prices will drop. And what I would have every person thinking about what they would sell their house for today ask themselves is, would you sell your house for less money because you didn't have to pay a co-broke fee? Or would you sell your house for what the market was willing to bear and you would maximize that extra difference in profit to yourself? And I think the honest answer is that most people would choose to maximize their profit. They have less expenses, so they're going to make a little bit more money.
I want to point out one thing on that. When people are going in and they're doing comparables or comparative sales, the comparative sales have the selling and the buying agent fees already baked in. So you're comparing to that number. So I don't see anyone going and saying, well, now that that's in there, I need to back off my sales price, my list price by X percent. That's not going to happen. The other thing, Brad, and this starts to talk to your business, is right now those fees can be baked into the mortgage. Okay? The commissions are baked into the mortgage. I can't have that. When you buy a house and there's a 5% commission that's being paid, the buyer can get part of that, or all of it, covered as a part of the cost of the house.
Right. It's part of the purchase price.
But now it won't be part of the purchase price.
Right.
Who's going to pay that? The idea is a buyer is going to reach into their pocket. Well, I don't know, Brad. I'm going to be dramatic for a second.
Yeah.
I have enough maybe for dinner tonight. I don't have enough for a commission on a house. It just doesn't work that way. And I don't find first-time buyers, they're shaking the couch to get the money to just buy the house, let alone pay a commission.
Right. I want to draw a very, very clear distinction because I don't want people to get confused. What Gary is saying is right now, the price of the house is the price of the house. As long as the appraisal value comes in, that's fine. The co-broke fee is paid out of the listing side, but it's built into the cost of the transaction. So the buyer doesn't have to come out with additional funds.
Right.
If this passes, what will happen is in order for a buyer to get representation, they will have to pay out of their pocket. Okay. Out of their pocket, in addition to their down payment, in addition to their closing costs, they will have to pay out of their pocket what may be 2 to 2.5% to a buyer agent.
Right.
You do not have the ability at the present time to finance that in to the loan amount. We cannot add that on top of the mortgage amount without breaking loan to value levels and things like that. So if someone's putting the minimum down, let's say for a first time home buyer, is 3%. If they're putting 3% down as a first time home buyer, we can't say, okay, you're going to put your 3% down and maybe you've got enough to cover your closing costs, but we'll also add in that 2.5% co-broke fee, buyer agency fee. We're going to add that in. We can't do that. So the buyer may have to go without a buyer agent to help guide them through that transaction.
Here's the thing. If you buy and sell houses all day long, you're an investor, as an example, you begin to learn what to look for. And you begin to learn what things cost. And so if you see a sagging roof line, you know to go up on the roof, look for cracked rafters, that kind of stuff. And based on that, you can determine to fix that, what it's going to take. If you're a first-time buyer, you may not have a clue. May not have a clue at all. You know, people go in and they look at a house and they'll see in the attic some black or graying panels on the roof. Well, that's most likely, without testing, that's most likely mold. And when people hear mold, they run. Well, mold can be dealt with. Anything in a house can be dealt with. It's cost is what it boils down to. And if there's mold in a house, it can be dealt with. The only thing I've heard that really throws a pipe wrench into everything is you've got this cement that's out in central Mass and up to southern New Hampshire where the foundations are crumbling. That's an expensive problem. That's jack the house up, replace the foundation. That's a bigger deal. My point is solely this. If you're a first-time buyer, you need to understand what a big deal is and what a little deal is. And if you're a first-time buyer and you have not done this before and you don't have a home inspector or someone else looking over your shoulder, you may not know what they even look for, let alone determine if it's a big deal or a little deal.
In many cases, if not most cases, first-time home buyers, I believe, have turned to you and people like you and I and said, look, I really want this house. They go into a house, they fall in love. I really want this house. Can I waive this? Can I waive that? Can I waive my home inspection? Because we're in a competitive market. I want to get this house. It's multiple bids. What can I do? Okay. And I think they really have to understand what they're doing, whether they're waiving a home inspection, if they're going to waive a mortgage contingency, what does that mean? Because it can be very, very harmful for them. The other thing is you talk about going into houses. There are houses that you and I have been in where the house looked dressed up. They, what I call putting a little lipstick on a pig. The house looked dressed up. It looked beautiful. And you and I saw structural issues with that house to
right.
the point that we turned the buyer around and said, no, this is not a keeper.
I've had instances where I have looked at buyers and I've said, here's what I'm seeing, blah, blah, blah. If you want to write an offer on the house, I will do so. But you need to know that I think our best thing to do right now is to turn around and run. And like they look at me like, one guy said, we were actually in the home inspection. And this was a house that had addition after addition after addition after addition put on in a non-workmanlike manner. And I said to the guy, the inspector was picking up on all of this stuff. And the guy started to get upset, and I said, listen, you want a big house. So if you look at the total square foot on this house, it's large. But it's the house that Jack built. It's not put together in a way. It's not a house that's appropriate for someone of your stature. So we stopped the home inspection, and we actually went out and got the guy a house in the same town, and it was proper house, built appropriately, and they lived quite happily until the house had a fire, which is another whole story. But my point, Brad, is I'm not, I've seen a lot, but I'm not a home inspector. But I certainly in often, not always, able to point out and say, listen, you're going to want to have a home inspector right. look at that.
Right. Right.
You know, get a second set of eyes on that.
I guess, you know, getting back to what we started with this, which is in our case, I do not believe that buyers are going to get the price of a home lower because there is no go-broke fee on this. I think what they're going to do is they're going to pay the market value because the supply and demand is what's driving in our area more than any other factor. Not interest rates, not construction. It's supply and demand. How many homes are available for sale? How many buyers want them? That's what's driving this market. And my concern is that buyers will sacrifice certain things without representation, which they may not have, first-time home buyers particularly, if the seller's not paying for it. And I will see what goes down, but that's my belief.
Bernard thing came out of a number of people, a number of buyers being unhappy that they bought a house and they paid for a buyer agent fee, et cetera, as a part of the deal. And they feel like they didn't have any ability to question it or challenge it. Okay? And if you think about it, that's true. You know, that was
the sellers, you mean, Gary. The sellers sold a house and they didn't have ability to challenge
The buyers did not have the ability. Well, the sellers don't have the ability to pick who the buyer's agent's going to be, et cetera. So it gets into who's paying for what. How is it negotiated, et cetera? So this is the solution that's kind of percolated to the top. And do I think it takes care of the original concern? Yeah, but I think this opens up another whole series of considerations. But anyway, that's kind of my perspective on it.
Well, for those that are listening to the show, I would say to you, you know, first of all, if you have questions about this subject, feel free to reach out to Gary or I on it. We can talk about it. But this is an ongoing case. This is not carved in stone yet. It's not settled yet. But it certainly, I think the point that the press is putting out, the media is putting out, is not really the complete story. So I think you want to hear it from other people. You don't have to call Gary. You can seek other people as well. But really look behind the scenes and ask yourself, is it really going to result in lower prices? I don't think they are. Is it going to result in first-time home buyers being in a precarious position and having to pay more for adequate counseling? Probably. And so just understand that going into it.
Right. Well, Brad, I don't know if that addresses the concern that your wife had that she wanted us to talk about today, but we'll find that out. I do think it's an interesting topic and one that I think we're going to probably revisit many times over the coming months.
I think we will, Gary.
So thank you, Brad. If someone wants to talk to you, Brad, how do they reach you?
Best way to reach me, Gary, is via my cell phone, which is 978-375-5531, or via my email at brad@bradavergon.com. And Gary, how do they reach you?
508-733-6005 or Gary at Move with Gary. Thank you, Brad.
Thanks, Gary. Be well.
Well, we'll see if that floats.
Hey, you got two podcasts out of me.
And we got to get together and talk about the houses that are out there.
Yeah.
Anyway, I've got to fly.
I'll see you.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah.
Bye.